The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod.
July 2nd.
I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1965, NASA launched Tyros 10, the last experimental Tyros weather satellite. Over the course of 10 Tyros satellites, the basic technology of satellite weather observation was worked out, and the way was paved for the Nimbus and ESA weather satellite networks. On this day in 2014, the satellite International Sun-Earth Explorer 3 fired its thrusters for the first time since 1987. Originally launched in 1978, the IC-3 satellite was the first to be parked at the L1 Lagrange point, where the gravitational forces of both the Sun and the Earth would hold it in equilibrium. And in 1985, it was redirected toward the first close encounter with a comet. But NASA was no longer in the driver's seat. A crowd-funded citizen science effort revived IC-3 for a few months, with NASA's permission, and tried to send it on a new mission. But it was quite simply out of fuel. In 2004, actor James Doohan announced that he had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. At 84 years old, Doohan was the oldest surviving cast member of the original Star Trek, and would soon be awarded a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He died just over a year later. Actor Brock Peters was born today in 1927. In addition to his starring role in the movie version of To Kill a Mockingbird, he appeared as Captain Sisko's father on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
You did what?
Dad, it's not quite as bad as it sounds.
You mean you didn't leave my grandson at the mercy of a vicious, bloodthirsty enemy?
Well, no. I did.
And it's certainly just as bad as it sounds.
Dad, it was not my decision. It was Jake's choice to stay behind.
Oh, so now you're going to blame this on Jake?
I'm not blaming Jake. He's not a child anymore. He's responsible for his own actions.
I don't care who's responsible. It's wrong. And I want him back. You think he's all right?
I hope so. I'll bring him back, Dad, I promise.
When?
That I don't know. It might be a while. I'm about to be given new orders, and I don't know where they're going to send me.
Tell them you want to go get your son.
It's wartime. It's not up to me. I go where I'm sent.
Are things really as bad as the new service claims?
Maybe worse.
Well, you certainly know how to comfort a frightened old man.
But he was also the villainous voice of Darth Vader in National Public Radio's Star Wars radio dramas.
Lord Vader is coming aboard.
Lord Vader. The Death Star plans are not in the ship's computers.
Which is their captain?
This, sir.
Well, Captain, what have you done with those plans?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your life is in my hand, Captain, just as your throat is. Don't struggle or I'll close my fist. Now. What about those transmissions you intercepted?
We intercepted no transmissions. This is a consular ship. We're on a diplomatic...
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador? Well? A stubborn insect. A death without meaning. Commander?
Sir.
Tear this ship apart until you've found those plans, and bring me the ambassador. I want the Princess Leia Organa alive.
Actor Saul Rubinek of Warehouse 13 was born today in 1948. Witchblade star Yancey Butler was born in 1970.
You happen to know what this is?
The Witchblade.
The Witchblade? Huh. Well, somehow, during a shootout at the Midtown Museum, the Witchblade happened to find its way onto my wrist. Does this belong to you?
Does anything really belong to anybody, Sarah?
That's quite an evasive answer, Mr. Irons.
If the Witchblade does belong to one person, it belongs to you, Sarah.
In 1982, the arcade started getting wild. Taito released the arcade game Jungle King, taking players on a quest to rescue a distressed damsel from the natives. Just one problem. The digitized Tarzan yell drew a lawsuit from the estate of Edgar Rice Burroughs, the author of the Tarzan stories. Less than 3 months after its release, Taito had to offer to replace arcade operators' Jungle King games with a revised game called Jungle Hunt, with no Tarzan yell and a pith-helmeted safari explorer instead of a loincloth-wearing king of the jungle. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader-supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic, arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Commencing escape pod landing procedure. The logbook.com escape pod was written and produced by Earl Kane.